This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
So you can win tickets to see Bare Naked Ladies today. We got to get an answer from you for a fish out of water. Who from a movie or a show was, I just thought of like...
Yeah, I thought of some good ones.
Yeah, there's a bunch of great, great answers.
Should James get to do another one?
No, we'll leave it for the audience. We'll leave it for the audience.
Holy mackerel.
But there are so many good ones.
I just thought of three, actually, all from TV. All right, 215.
Mine are all from movies, so that's hilarious. There we go.
Oh, man.
There's a caller on hold who has a great one, too. So.
All right, we'll see what gets said today. By the way, I want to just say it was a real shame yesterday to see the news that John Feinstein had passed away.
So sad.
Yeah, Ree, I know you know him.
I knew him real well. He was a frequent guest. If you are a baseball fan, especially a pitcher, one of his best books ever was called Living on the Black. He spent a year with Mike Mussina and Tom Glavine when Glavine was at the Mets. It's a phenomenal book, but he was a fun person.
Yeah, he was.
I just enjoyed his company.
Yeah, I agree. I we had him on the show a few times. I didn't read that book, but I probably read 5 or 6 of his books.
I mean, Season on the Brink is maybe the most famous sports book of all. It's up there in the discussion. Yeah.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, and he wrote about college basketball. He wrote about the Army-Navy game. He was actually close with Red Auerbach when he was really young, and Red Auerbach was really old. So he used to have lunch with Auerbach every week.
Oh, stories he told about those lunches were legendary.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. And, you know, we had him on our show when we were in the midday show a few times. And, James, I'm struck by the interview 2 or 3 years ago. I remember after it happened, like 3 or 4 straight callers called in to say, and I kind of got the sense they didn't know Feinstein that well.
Yeah, and they were like,
that guy's incredible.
Yeah, I remember that vividly.
Yeah, so, you know, condolences to the family of John Feinstein. He was a real force in writing and sports writing and a friend at WIP.
Yep.
By the way, he was going to be at the Palestra on Monday. You know, Monday's the big coaches versus cancer, you know, breakfast, tournament tip-off.
He loved to go to the Palestra. The last time I spoke to him, not one of the last times, but I got him to autograph a book for David Montgomery.
Yeah.
Before David passed, and it was the Living on the Black, as I told David, it had some great Phillies-related stuff in there. And he goes, I was just with David at the Palestra.
Wow. So. Yeah. So Feinstein, he was a big presence, so he will certainly be missed. Also passed away a little bit on the young side before he got to 70, so that's a shame. All right, 215-592-9494. Elliot, detail what happened yesterday. There were a couple different moves with the Eagles. Let's just go one by one. Player and what it means and how good they are. What do you got?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few to start with, but I would say the one that has the chance to play the biggest role would probably be Adoree Jackson. Adoree Jackson was signed yesterday, I think, to compete with Kelee Ringo for the outside starting cornerback job. Adoree's an 8-year veteran. He is the oldest free agent they've signed. I think he's 29 or about to
be
29.
He'll be 30 during season.
Yeah, 30 during the season. So 8 years in the NFL, was with the Giants the last 4 years. He's had a real up-and-down career. He came in the league as like a ultra-athletic, super quick. I think he played offense and defense in college, if I'm not mistaken. But I think at this point, obviously, he's lost a step. You can tell by just what he got in free agency. But I think the positive he brings is in a team that is mostly young, like he has more starts than Cooper, Quinion, and Reed Blankenship combined. So I think he'll bring a little bit of the veteran experience that Darius Slay brought, but an average corner at this
point. Also can return kicks, too, for what it's worth.
Yeah, so he hasn't done it for a few years. He has done it in his career, but he is an option. You're right.
All right, so what about this Harrison Bryant guy?
So I like Harrison Bryant. He's more of a receiving tight end. His blocking numbers are not great. He's been pretty inconsistent with that, which is a weird fit with Calcaterra. But he's a guy, 6'5", 26 years old. He's been in some tough spots.
He's like, played with some pretty bad quarterbacks.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's been with bad quarterbacks in Cleveland. Last year, he's with the Raiders. They draft Brock Bowers, which obviously impacts his playing time. But former fourth-round pick, I think he's more of a receiving, though, tight end than a blocking tight end.
All right, and then one more, and this is a name I'm going to butcher now, and I'm just going to say right off the bat, this guy should change his last name, because what is this? Joshua Uche?
So it's easy.
Or Uche?
Ready? Uche. Uche.
Haven't you listened to my updates? I went through Elliot before. So how do you pronounce it?
Hopefully, but I mean, that's right.
Rhea, don't you agree if your last name was Uche and it's spelled U-C-H-E, that's a change in the name guy?
It's tough to change your last name.
You find a way.
Add a hyphen.
I'm not going through life. Well, there you go.
Oh,
I'm not going through life as Uche.
Yeah.
All right, Joshua Uche, who is he? How good?
Uche, there it is.
So he's a guy that in 2022, had they signed him, we'd be talking about him in a similar light to a Myles Garrett, Max Crosby. Obviously, he has not had that career. But in 2022, he was a top 10 edge rusher in the NFL. The issue is since then, he's been really bad. He was traded to the Chiefs last year. Steve Spagnuolo, who I think we all agree is maybe the best defensive coordinator in the league, if not one of the best of all time, made him a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl, barely played when he got there.
Wow.
So only 26 years old, didn't get a lot of money. I wouldn't even say he's like a lock to make the roster, but he's a high upside type of signing just because he has had that big season. And at 26, you hope you get a value signing. But
that's amazing. A guy that has that season at 24. And then at 26 is deactivated in the Super Bowl. That's astounding.
Think about this, right?
Kind of like Bryce Huff a little bit.
Well,
Bryce Huff wasn't deactivated, but he wasn't a factor at all.
He was a healthy scratch in the Super Bowl.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
I mean, if I remember correctly.
They did deactivate him?
Think about this.
He did not play.
Of the Eagles' top four.
Wow.
Of the Eagles' top four edge rushers now, two of them were healthy scratches in the Super Bowl, just for different teams. And also similar
Bryce
players.
Bryce Huff being the other. Yikes.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Josh Uche, really bad against the run. So very similar.
Great.
Yeah, exactly. Very similar
One
profile
of those guys.
To Bryce Huff.
We got All another right, Bryce which, Huff.
Well, yeah. or Bryce is going to be gone.
Ooh.
Is that possible?
What's the deal with that contract-wise, Elliot?
Pre-June 1st, they really can't do it. It's tough to do. But come training camp, like OTAs, you can save money by releasing by trading him at that point. Now, I know we can all say what's his trade value, but you know, if you trade him for a 7th-round pick or someone else that's going to get cut, you do save money. So,
does the team have to take his contract? Like, do they have to pay him multiple millions to take him?
So the team that acquires him does not have to worry about the signing bonus. They get his base salary and then any like option or workout
which should be
bonuses.
A lot less.
Is a lot less.
All right, let's go to the phone. So your reaction to what went on yesterday? Obviously, some players, you know, still in the dangling mode. We wonder about Dallas Goedert. We wonder about Mekhi Becton. We wonder about Britton Covey, especially if you don't want Cooper DeJean returning punts, and I don't think they should have him.
And I don't think Vic wants that.
No, they got to knock that off. They survived for a year, but save that for a special circumstance, end of game. I don't think he should be the regular
just
guy.
Just saying they've won the Super Bowl every time Cooper DeJean returns punts. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
All right, let's go to Seth in media. Good morning, Seth.
If Jodic Camera tells you that the sky is falling, even if it was, would he still go draw a bath again? I bet he would, my friend. You dirty foot guy. I can't believe you right now.
That's a good song.
Yeah, it is a great song. I don't know about the singing right then, but it's
a lot to unpack in the first 10 seconds.
Yeah,
of this
well,
call.
You know what, Devin? I think we need to unpack you singing 1 week earlier because that was a great soundbite. I love that. There's 1 week.
That's pretty much all I know.
That part, honestly.
1 week since you.
She was just like,
looked at me, I think, and then I don't know after that.
Yeah. So it's a great topic today with the Eagles. The thing is, I agree completely with James and Elliot. I'm not freaking out about thinking that it's a reset year because what you're doing is it's a salary cap reset.
a contractual type of a thing where you're setting a team up for success long term if you do this. And you're doing it with a team that's already competing at a really high level. It'd be a different story if, you know, they were taking the route of the Phillies back in the day, where they're basically emptying their pockets in the farm system to go for it all, and it doesn't work out. And then what happened? You know, they were terrible for a long time.
Seth, here's the one thing I'll say. We know the Eagles were truly and clearly the best in the world in 2024, with the possible exception if Detroit had been healthy. We'll never know what would have happened there. But with that said, we know enough to know teams go up and teams go down. And just because the Eagles were the best in 2024 doesn't mean they'll be the best or maybe even be near it. I mean, Seth, I'll say this.
Look at 2018.
Look at 2018. Look at 2023.
Yep.
At the end. Like, there is no way you can watch that playoff game, Eagles-Bucks. Put that one, I'll say, in the VCR. Okay, no one's got a VCR. But there's no way you can watch that game and say, you know what, next year, this team's going to be one of the best this century in football. And not then have the conclusion, okay, they went up. They could go down. They could go down quite a bit. So my point is, it's nice to keep the future strong by not, you know, killing yourself in the short term or augmenting yourself in the short term and killing yourself in the long term with the cap. But, you know, there is something to be said for grabbing the opportunity to maximize your opportunity to repeat. And it doesn't feel like the Eagles are maximizing their opportunity to repeat.
Listen, man, with that logic, though, you could say if they kept these guys around, they still couldn't repeat.
It's possible.
What I mean? Like,
yeah.
If they kept,
yeah,
I mean, it's the same thing. And you know, I draw that comparison to the Phillies from back in the day because they did go for it. You know, I mean, they went for year after year after year, basically emptying everything and cleaning out the cupboards, which left the team high and dry for the better part of a decade.
No, that's right. That's accurate. That's accurate. Yeah, Seth, give me someone who was a fish out of water, a character.
Man, I went back and watched this show recently, and it still holds up. And it was one of my favorites when I was a kid. I'm going to say Valky Bartokomas from
Perfect Stranger. Great answer.
Yeah, that
great
is.
Great answer.
From where?
Perfect Strangers.
It's Perfect Strangers.
Oh, that was a great show. That was a fun show.
It's a great answer. Yeah. Like a perfect answer.
There's a couple of those type. I'm just
Man, it's crazy. 2008 is already back in the day. Like when he says
17 years ago?
Yeah, I know. Well, he goes, like, went back in the day when the Phillies tried. Yeah. I was thinking he meant, like, the 80s. Yeah.